Hey guys, welcome back for another episode of the Game Boys podcast. I'm here with my pal Bowman. How you doing, buddy?
Great, man.
Yeah?
Good to be here.
Thank you. It's good to have you on my podcast. My name's Pat, and we got a real treat for you.
We got some
gaming news.
Good.
We got some, probably a philosophical topic at the end. Hopefully Bowman's got something for me there.
I got something.
Yeah, okay.
I think I do.
And then, we took a week break because there was literally nothing to talk about. That's the pitfall of doing a weekly podcast, and it's summertime, so there's, it's a slow season.
Yeah, I didn't want to record a podcast where we're just rambling and trying to find news from somewhere. I do like our topics where we don't actually have any news topics. Like, those are... I agree with you. You've said that's like some of our best episodes.
Yeah.
But there was nothing. Not at all last week. So.
Yeah. But we've got some juicy ones this week. Some rumblings of a new game console.
Oh, yeah. We were going to talk about that last week, but that was literally the only thing to talk about.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll jump into that one.
Well, I mean.
Or rather.
What have you been up to? Anything? What are you playing? What are you seeing? What are you?
I am playing Gravity Rush 2 right now, which I'm halfway through that, and I started up Night in the Woods. I usually need some kind of game to wind down at the end of the night that's like stress-free, and I can just chill in my bed and play. And I have that on Switch. It was on sale a while ago, and I bought it because I knew I wanted to play it. So that's been fun. I can definitely say that you will not like it.
Night in the Woods?
Night in the Woods. Definitely not a pack game, for sure.
Because the SJW stuff, or...
No. It's Walking Simulator, for sure.
Oh. Is it a first-person game?
No.
Is this the game I'm thinking of where you, like, come home from college?
Oh, that's Home, or whatever?
No.
Well, Night in the Woods is that, where you come... You recently dropped out of college, and you're coming back to your small town, basically as a dropout.
Right.
And you're coming to terms with the fact that, like, things change, some things don't change, trying to find your self-identity. You're kind of playing, the main character you play, she's kind of just a little shithead, basically.
Right.
All the choices you're given to say are always kind of just sarcastic.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it reminds me of just that cynical young 20-year-old, directionless person, doesn't know what they're doing.
Right.
So I like the message it has so far. So it does have, like, a quirky mini, like, I just got handed a... My laptop was messed up in the game, and one of your friends helps fix it. And then
one of my friends?
Well, in the game.
Okay.
Helps you fix it, and he installs like a game on there, and then sure enough, it's like a little mini dungeon game that I'm playing within the game, so that's been
kind of
cool.
Like a dungeon crawler?
Yeah, like a dungeon crawler game. It's
like RPG, or?
No, like a...
Like a Binding of Isaac type.
Type game, but not really that, obviously not really that deep, because it's just a game within a game. And there's also a rhythm section within the game, too, which is not good.
Okay.
Which is pretty disappointing, because they put all of the controls for the rhythm on one side of the controller.
Mm-hmm.
Which most rhythm games have you use, like, both the directional pad or, like, on the Switch, it's great because you can use both sides of the controller. Just like Persona 4 Dancing All Night does that. Hatsune does that. And for some reason, they decided to use one side of the controller, which I can do it, but it's just kind of killed the rhythm section for me. It's made it not fun. But the game in itself, I've only dipped my toe into it. I actually been kind of gaming ADHD right now, which I am playing a lot of Gravity Rush 2, but I also put Crash Bandicoot the Insane Trilogy
in there.
And it's great. I never really played Crash growing up. I think I might have come over to a friend's place and watched him play, and I played like a couple levels, but that's pretty much
it. Are you playing the first one?
Yes.
Okay. So let me tell you this. The first one is by far the worst one.
Okay.
And the second and third one are much, much better.
Yeah.
So if you're enjoying the first one, you only have... It's only looking up from there.
Cool.
I mean, the second one, in my opinion... Second one's my favorite. Some people would argue the third is the best one. Some people would argue the second one is the best one. They're pretty close. I felt like the third one got too carried away with like the vehicles and animal riding and stuff like that. Second one's like an in between. Like the first one's primarily like 2D platforming almost. Yeah. And the second one is like mostly, it's like a lot of 3D platforming with some 2D platforming, and also just a couple of like levels peppered in where you like ride an animal. Third one is like, they really, yeah, you're riding vehicles, you're flying around in a plane and stuff like that.
Okay.
Still fantastic game. And I loved it. When I the Insane Trilogy came out for PS4, I 101%ed them. So
it's fun, man. I'm really enjoying it. And it's definitely a nice game to just jump in and out of. And I appreciate that right now. Because yeah. I just have such a busy schedule that games like that, I'm really all about right now. And especially, it's such a, everyone's on repeat, but it really is a great game for the Switch, because the Switch is such a great game, that a system where you can just jump in real quickly. Mm-hmm. You just turn it on real quickly, and I can play a couple levels, and then I'm done. And I even had a friend over, and we just turned it on and played it together. It's a great game to play together and just watch each other and get frustrated.
Yeah.
Because it is very difficult.
First one's the hardest one.
I love how much detail they put into this remaster.
Yeah.
Like when the many ways he gets killed, like just the shoes.
Well, it was always like that.
The shoes flying.
Yeah, it was always like that. Yeah. They just remastered the animation, but it's always been like that.
It's really cool.
I mean, surely you heard about how they had to edit it, censor it in Japan.
Yeah.
Because of the serial killer. Hear about that?
Are you talking about when he gets squashed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a great game, and you're right, it's a great game to like pop in, and I mean the levels only take 5 minutes or whatever, so
yeah.
I do recommend to you that when you play the second one, make sure you're trying to like get all the boxes and stuff for the gems, because in order to like get the actual ending of the game, you have to get all the gems too.
Can I be kind of chill on the first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The first one, they went too far with it, and like, I think in order to get the gem, you have to break all the boxes and beat the level without dying. And it's just, this is too much. It's too much. And it's just, the second one is literally tied into the story. Like, there's another guy throughout the whole story that's like, get the gems. You have to get the gems in order to beat it. You can beat it with just the crystals, but you get the bad ending.
All right, well, then I'll try to do that.
And it's just, you know, it's better if you just do it while you're playing the game, so you don't have to go back later.
Yeah.
And replay the level. So, yeah. All right. Anything else going on?
Yeah, man, a lot. Like, I really increased my collection recently because I finally went ahead and I had two giant boxes of games, and I just got tired of them sitting there. So I went ahead and just traded them all in.
Yeah.
And it was like all my extra systems. I had a Game Boy Original in there. I had like four Genesises, like a Super Nintendo, I think there was a GameCube in there. Even like my broken stuff they took in, which I appreciated, and just random other knickknacks. So I got a bunch of credit, and then I ended up getting Buy Two, Get One Free, which was Crash Bandicoot, Darkest Dungeon, which you recommended, so...
Just a few times.
Yeah, just a few times. You talked about that enough, and it was on the shelf, and I just looked at it and went, okay, if I'm going to get it, because it was buy two, get one free,
yeah.
I might as well pick it up at this point.
I mean, if you like turn-based RPGs...
I do.
And you like stat managing and stuff like that, and like, you know, being careful with what you're doing. If you want a mindless RPG, this is not it.
Yeah.
You're not just going to get through this game by hitting the button over and over again and just killing the enemies. You have to really, really think about everything you're doing.
Well, I think... When you first talked about it, I looked into it, and I didn't like the art style at first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just looked too typical indie comic book looking. Where
yeah.
It's got that, like, ooh, like, this is dark style and everything.
Right.
And then when I saw you play in action, I was really impressed by it.
Yeah.
The music, the way the whole thing's packaged together, it's great.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play that. What else did I... Oh, I got Binding of Isaac, which... Because I love... I really like those types of games, and I want to get into them more. And I like, and I'm starting to get into more of like rogue style, where when you die, like you start from the beginning. Spelunky got me into that, so I've been enjoying that one too. So I popped that one in for a little bit. So I've been, as I said, kind of on ADHD gaming right now. I, when it comes to gaming now, the way I game now is that I have one long-term game. It's like my Gravity Rush 2 right now, where it's like, that's like the main kind of long story game that I'm playing right now. And then I'll just pepper salt shake basically some indie games in there when I just want to have like a chill gaming session when I get home. I also, I don't know if I'm rambling too much, but I also went ahead and modded both my Super Nintendo Classic and Nintendo Classic, which was insanely easy. I didn't think the program that's out there that lets you do it, it's really easy. And
packed into the mainframe.
Packed into the mainframe. Yeah, it's really easy to just add games to it. And I, as we talked about, this is kind of one of my topics where when your perspective changes on retro collecting, because it's just my lifestyle is moving in a direction where I just simply can't anymore.
Right.
I just don't have the space for it, and I'm not going to have the space for it. So I really appreciate stuff like this. I appreciate good emulation, and that's what I get from these two systems right now.
But here's the real question. The thing that everyone's wondering, did you put RC Pro-Am 2 on Classic
Edition? I thought about it, but I did not. Piece of shit. It's not four players.
So? You play two players.
Yeah. I mean, I can always add it on there. I did think about that. But it's not fun with two computers. So they just
disappointed
cheat.
In you. I've beaten the game with two players before.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. I'll put it in there.
All right. I guess.
One cool thing for me, and I wanted to do this, was I put the Japanese version of Earthbound in there, Mother 3.
Okay.
So that's been cool for me, because I wanted to just... I've been wanting to do this for a while, and I couldn't figure out how and when I was going to do it, but I've been recommended from like pretty much several YouTubers when it comes to studying a language that a great way to study a language is to play a game in another language.
Right.
And I just couldn't picture myself playing a brand new game that I haven't played before in Japanese. I just did not see that happening. I feel like it would just be stressful and a chore. And this has been cool for me because I already know all the storyline. I already know like pretty much what the dialogue is at this point. So I get to just go through line by line and translate it. So that's been pretty neat.
Cool.
Overall, it's been a lot more gaming stuff than usual, man. And it's been pretty good. So
I'm the opposite. I haven't gamed at all.
I'm usually not gaming at all right now. And I've been gaming like crazy.
Here's my problem when it comes to gaming. And I'll just go right into what I've been up to. I've been playing the Nier Automata, you know, that old thing. And I'm almost done with it, but I'll probably finish it tonight. But the problem for me is that I will not play other games, period. I will not play another game. For those of you who don't know, I have a Neo Geo arcade machine. So occasionally, you know, those games are bite-sized. You play them for 10 minutes and you're done. So I don't count that as sometimes I'll pop that on and play a game, play something. But when I'm playing a game, I will not start another game, period. And that causes me some issues because then I'm playing this long, big game and I'm like, well, I've got an hour. I'll go like days, maybe a week or more, not playing anything because I just can't bring myself to pick up this big game that I'm playing. And so sometimes I will go through dry spells, and I haven't played any games because I've just been busy, and I didn't feel like I had the time to pick up, play Nier, and finish it. So
see, not to interrupt you, but that's the issue that I had, and that's where I've kind of changed my perspective on that, because I was doing that where I would just go, okay, I'm not allowed to touch any other game, and then it makes it feel like a chore. You're just like, you look at that game and you're like, ah, all right.
The difference, though, is that I finish a lot of games.
Yeah, I finish a lot of games, too.
I finish more games.
Sure. This isn't a competition.
It is now. It is now. You made it a competition.
I'm not trying to make it a competition. I'm just saying that...
Right now, lay it on the table. Let me see your list of games you've beaten.
I don't have that. But I find myself looking at my game collection and going, you know what? Like, I buy these games to enjoy them. Like, I'm going to enjoy them however I want to enjoy them. And when I get home, I don't want to feel stressed. And if a game feels like a chore, then I'm not going to play it.
Yeah. Well, this game doesn't feel like a chore so much as, I don't know, just when it comes to, sometimes I'm just lazy about it. I'm just like, I don't feel like playing a game for like a and the issue was like earlier you came over and I was in the middle of it, and it's like you can't just save wherever you want in that game.
Yeah.
So if I don't have a lot of time, then, you know, plus I also have like a lot of mental hangups when it comes to playing games. Like, you, I've talked about this with you a lot, but like I won't play a game if there's like anything I could be doing that is productive.
Oh, God, absolutely.
And I guess that's just ingrained in me because growing up, my mom just always yelled at me for like playing games. And it was always viewed as like a lazy thing or whatever, you know. It was viewed as with a negative stigma. And now I feel guilty if I like play too many games. So as I'm sitting in a room filled with 1,000 games.
Well, certain games, like, yes, they're fun, but sometimes when I get, the problem for me is I get home from a long day of work. I want to just chill out on the couch and watch, like, I've been watching The Sopranos now.
Yeah.
So I just want to chill out and just watch it. I don't want to. Gravity Rush 2 has been challenging at certain points, and I find myself getting stressed out.
Yeah.
You know, I love it. I love the challenge, and it's satisfying, but I just had a long, stressful day, and I want to get home and just kind of just chill out and watch something. I don't want to be challenged.
Yeah.
So that's the issue that I have sometimes. So.
Right. Well, so anyway, been playing Nier Automata, and then last week we had a little barbecue here for
five. Yeah, it was good.
Had our friends over, and I smoked some briskets and hot dogs and sausages, and my dog ate most of those.
Yeah, it's tradition at this
point.
Yeah,
every year my dog eats all the hot dogs. And
we get too drunk, then we stop paying attention.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, it's like everyone's outside, like, smoking or just hanging out outside, and I'm looking around. I'm like, where's the dog? Why isn't he out here? And sure enough, I go inside, and all the hot dogs are gone.
Yeah.
And he's in there by himself, which is abnormal. If people are outside, he wants to go outside.
Yeah.
So immediately when he wasn't outside, I'm like, there's something not right here. And I go in, check, they're gone. And I come back outside. I'm like, guys, were there hot dogs left? They're like, yeah, a lot. So
they're gone.
Every year this happens. He eats the hot dogs. But aside from that, good times. We had some heated money puzzle exchanger battles on the Neo Geo. Every party I have, I tell you this all the time. Every party I have is like, that's like, I feel justified in that purchase
of the Neo Geo,
the arcade machine. Yeah, because.
Yeah.
Because I don't play it that much. What am I going to fucking stand around, you know, by myself? Like, it's kind of like a social thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to stand around. Like, very rarely do I do play it sometimes, but, you know, very rarely do I just stand around and play it on my own for long periods of time.
Yeah, your wife and friend were playing, like, Simpsons at one point
right.
on it for a while.
So,
like,
So anytime I have that party, that thing gets used the whole night, and I feel justified in the somewhat large purchase. I paid like $600 for it, so. But it's a lot of fun. So, on that note, let's get right into this shit here.
What do you got?
Rumor has it that Google is working on a game console.
Ooh.
And I'm just gonna leave it at that. What do you know about this?
Well,
what do you think?
It's supposed to be speculation that it's gonna be like a streaming console.
Yes, right? I heard that. But correct me if I'm wrong, but like it's not like some shitty Ouya shit. It's like supposed to be on par with like the PS4 Pro and stuff, right?
Apparently, but there's not much official information about it. It's just been speculation.
Well, so I mean, what is your think there's room in the market for like a streaming only game like that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I think
streaming only game. I sound like an 80-year-old man. A game, not a console.
I mean, if any company that has a service to back up a streaming service, Google, absolutely. And Google I don't see Google like half-assing this too much. I welcome it. Like, it would be great if we could have another competitor come in, for sure.
I feel like that's the wrong kind of competition, though. I worry that if they come in and do well, then the other consoles or the other companies are going to go, well, why don't we just do streaming?
That's true, too. That's true. But the thing is, they're Google might have to take another stance on that when they see that there's clearly, because physical market like it still dominates most of sales right now.
Yeah.
So, and there is an issue of not a lot of people having a reliable internet connection, like, and all over the world too. Like, especially like we complain about our internet connection. Like, different countries have terrible internet connections.
Yeah, and so, they also get charged per use.
Yeah.
Uses. I mean, that happens in America too if you're in the wrong area.
Yeah.
Thank God that doesn't go on here, but yeah.
I just mean, I think that streaming services is going to continue to evolve, and I'm all for more companies coming in to shake that up, because PS Now could be a great service, but Sony just it doesn't feel like it's there.
Yeah. People have been kind of dipping their toe in the water a lot more lately. I mean, you've got that Resident Evil 7 streaming thing, and I think people definitely, companies want to move in that direction eventually. So for me, it's one thing if the console, let's say the console has like, you know, 40 gigs or 100 gig hard drive or something like that in there, so it can, you know, maybe, like, I would be okay if it was a digital-only console.
Sure.
And not a streaming console, because then, you know, like you said, you have issues with internet. If it's a, maybe the article just misrepresented it or whatever. Because I could see a download-only console. I mean, there are plenty of people out there now that just do PS4 download-only or whatever. And, or, you know, I know people who are like, oh, I'm only digital.
I was talking about this at work the other day. Yeah. A lot of people that I talk to are only digital.
Right. So it's not that far-fetched for them to do only digital console. The problem I see is like what you're saying with internet speeds and stuff, frame rates, buffering, and, you know, ones and zeros, beeps and boops, those types of things. It's just the lag, the input lag, things like that, you've eliminated all like competitive gaming.
Well, that's why I don't think this would be a primarily streaming console. I think a streaming would be a big part of it, but I don't think it would be the only thing. I think Google is the company that has the statistics to go into it and know that that would be kind of foolish.
Yeah.
But maybe they have statistics that proves that there is a niche market that is trying to fill. Maybe they're not trying to be a big time player, and they're just trying to like maybe just slowly put themselves in and just pass it off as a all in one entertainment device that also plays streams games.
Maybe this is a push for their Google Fiber too.
Yeah,
they can be like, oh, you know, get Google Fiber, guaranteed that it's gonna work with your Google console.
Yeah, for sure,
because it's a gig.
I think for sure, I don't think people need to think of it as something that's going to necessarily make the biggest impact on like Sony, Xbox, or Nintendo or anything like that, but I do think that it's at least they're putting their foot out there and just and entering, because we know that in the future, like at least two generations from now, consoles are going to become less and less relevant.
Yeah.
And I think we're starting to see the first signs of that with this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, either way, it's an interesting development. Anytime someone tries to throw their hat in the ring,
more than happy to see it happen.
It's always a disaster, too. Whenever a fourth company tries to come in, there's only room for three companies. Always has been. There's never in any moment in time, and usually the third company isn't doing that well, there's never in any moment in time been a successful four game companies.
But maybe there hasn't been some niche market that's been tapped yet, because I mean, we have smartphone games and everything that's been tapped. We never imagined that market back then.
Sure. But that's totally different. Smartphone games, that's like comparing smartphone games and real video games is like comparing like a bag of Doritos to like a three course dinner.
I'm just saying that there might be some kind of market that we're unaware of that could be tapped with. Sure.
But yeah, they're both food, but they're not the same in any way.
Mm.
So, all right, what else? What do you got for us?
Well, to move back into Gravity Rush 2, I'm bringing it up just because on the 18th, coming up, July 18th, the big reason I decided to start playing this soon, and I'm kind of getting cranked with this, is that July 18th, they are completely shutting down the online service.
July 18th, when is that? That's
4 days.
4 days.
So, those of you who aren't aware of it, Gravity Rush 2 has an online service where basically it kind of puts like a competitive aspect of it to it, where you can like put out treasure hunts where you find this treasure box and then you help the next player out try to find it too. You'll like take, it has a camera option in it, and you'll like take a picture that'll be a good hint for someone else out there, and you send that out. And if someone else finds a treasure using your picture, then you get points.
Dark Souls has a system like that,
okay,
too. Yeah.
So the amount of points you get like new objects, new costumes, and you can earn these things in different ways of the game, but it's a lot more convoluted, and the best way to earn it is through that system. And there's also challenge modes where you who gets the best time, and like all sorts of challenges that are put with this online mode. Now, the kicker about this is that the game came out in January of 2017, and it's already being shut down. And it's funny because it was supposed to be shut down in January 2018, and it got a lot of pushback from fans. Like, people kind of had outrage on social media platforms of it, which is good. They're still outraging. I don't think it's going to prevent it just happening this time, but they pushed it 6 months out. And the thing, and the reason I bring it up, not to just talk about that it's happening, because that's kind of old news, it's just that when is it too short? Like, when is it... what are we really paying for with these services? Now, granted, it doesn't require PS Plus to use this service. It's not considered like an online multiplayer experience, so anybody can do it. But I'd be almost okay with them making it exclusively PS Plus, so I could play it, because I pay $60 a year for this PS Plus service, which is all like shitty PvP servers and all that.
Yeah,
it's not the greatest service. Like, sure, you get free games, but like, I want, at the end of the day, I am paying for a good online gaming experience.
Well, and the real killer is that this is a Sony game.
Yes.
This is a first-party game.
Yes.
So this isn't like, this is the equivalent of like if Splatoon had its server shut off like next year.
Maybe not that quite
drastic. Well, it's a first-party game. It's a lower-tier
first-party
game.
Yeah, but Splatoon is primarily like an online game.
Okay.
This is like a secondary
part
of it.
Fair enough. But still, like, it's a major first party title, and or at least they were hoping it would be. It's an interesting situation, and I think it's kind of there's some questions to be raised, because it's like you said, what are we paying for, and at what point does the game, like, when do the service, like, how long are you paying for the service, basically? So, you pay $60, you play the game, but how, like, I guess I should ask you, how integral is this part of this, of the game? How, is it, are these messages and hints everywhere?
Yes.
Okay.
It's everywhere.
So, it's a major part of the game.
Yeah, it's an open, they tried to go the full open world aspect with this one, and every time, you get, constantly.
Yeah.
So-and-so's challenging, so-and-so's challenging you, and like, it's a really cool aspect, because there's a lot, it makes you feel like there's a lot to do in this world.
So I think it's just a slippery slope, because at what point is it okay, and what point are you all right with basically saying, the way I put it to you when we talked about it the other day was, it was almost like their self-imposed DRM, because it was like, okay, well, if you didn't buy this game in the first year, which means, so basically, if you can't buy it pre-owned, chances are you're not going to get it down the line cheaper. It's just, if you didn't buy this game in the first year and play it, then you're fucked. You don't get to experience the game.
Yeah.
And I think it raises bigger questions too, because we're kind of moving into that, the big thing now is games as a service. And so Overwatch is a $60 game, and obviously Overwatch is successful and stuff, so it's not a big deal. But if it wasn't successful, and not as many people as they hope are playing it, when are they going to turn it off? I mean, that's another, it's another bad example, because it's purely online, but still, it's a game as a service. And when does the service end? How long? There should be some, and this might actually happen if enough people get upset about stuff like this. Eventually, they probably will have to put disclaimers or something on the box and be like, guaranteed to work until this date or whatever.
Well, like, in my eyes, you're making me lose respect for you as a company when you put out newer games with an online service, because it's just like, oh, great. Like, how long is this online service going to last for?
Yeah.
Like, you're setting a precedent, and, like, 1 year is a... One year and a half, that's a joke.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's a joke. Like, maybe 3 years would be too short, and I'd be having this argument, but year and a half is, like, laughably low.
Meanwhile, they're still selling PS3s on the shelf.
Yeah. Like, I think the biggest thing is that they should be communicating more about what the actual issue is with this. Why can't they have it on for much longer? Is the pictures in the game really, like, overloading their servers that badly? And if it is, then why are you shutting it off?
It's not. And that's that's kind of the point I got away from it. But that was the point I was trying to make earlier with it being a first-party game. Is like, you know, Sony's not missing anything by keeping the server on. Like, they're not... It's not bleeding them dry, just running a server in some room somewhere for this game. It's not. And, you know, this... like I said, it's... At what point are you done paying for the service? And what? How far is your $60 supposed to go, really? And it's a shame that they went about it this way. And on the other hand... Another Sony published game that I played did the opposite, which was Demon's Souls. When I played that, I played it years and years after it had come out, and they kept extending the servers were supposed to go off years ago, and they kept extending it because it was popular enough to keep... They were like, yeah, we're going to shut it off. And then people were still playing it. And they're like, okay, well, we'll leave them up for another 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
And this kind of brings me into my next topic, too. Because this is kind of a game as a service that got fucked over in a different way, which is Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
So Friday the 13th, if you don't know, it's like an asymmetrical multiplayer horror game where one person plays as Jason and... The other seven people play as camp counselors, all with different perks and abilities. And
started off as a summer horror game, generic, and then they through a series of events, they ended up getting the rights to Friday the 13th, and then became a successful Kickstarter.
Right, and me and you played this game a lot.
Yeah.
Like, more... I played that game more... What was it, last year?
Yeah, it was last year.
No, I think it might have been two years. It was 2016.
I thought it was October 2017.
I don't remember. No way, because the physical release came out several months later. So it's been almost 2 years now. But that was probably my...
No, May 2017.
Was the PC version?
Well, all of them, yeah.
Anyway, I probably played this game more than any other game last year. That was probably my most hours-wise played game. I played that game for like 100 hours.
Yeah.
And that's uncommon for me. So, really fun game. It's an online-only game. They were supposed to add single player, which is what I'm about to go into now.
They added it.
Did they add it?
Yeah, they added that mode. Okay. Sort of. They didn't add everything they were going to promise.
Right. But the issue is that I guess there was a lawsuit because the movie rights are owned by a different company than the rights for the likeness or the... I'm not exactly sure the details of the lawsuit. All I know is they got sued, and they lost, and they are no longer allowed to do anything with the game. And there was there were all these patches that were promised, and the Jason X patch and all that. They're already completed and developed. Yeah. And they can't release them because they lost this lawsuit.
I'm not trying to sit here and correct you, but like it's not that they lost the lawsuit. It's just that there is a legal battle going on right now.
But they're not bothering with going.
Because the legal battle is going on, no one can create new Friday the 13th material.
Right. Okay.
And because of that battle, the problem is the battle's going on and who knows how long it's going to go for, so they can't realistically just sit
right
in their office waiting for it to
so they came out and said there's never going to be any more updates for the game is done.
Yeah.
And it's not their fault,
not at all.
And they did a good job of consistently releasing new material and stuff, but it's another example of like that was a game as a service that was supposed to get updates and stuff, and now it's not going to.
Yeah,
people have already paid for it. You know, the ship has sailed, and you bought your ticket, and it's gone now. So yeah,
it's a really weird moment in gaming history. I feel like I don't know anything that's happened like that, where it's just a legal battle just completely interrupted updates like that, and it's just done.
Well, and this kind of ties in, not to go on another topic, but this kind of ties into what we always say when it comes to game preservation and stuff, is this is the kind of, it's happening now because it's, you know, they're, it's in the news now because they're modern games, but this is like almost every game is going to have these issues later on. This is the kind of shit that we're going to be seeing for years to come for every major title that has internet stuff built into it.
Well, yeah, that's why I like piracy when it comes to online games, because it's cool when we get like custom servers and all that stuff, and they get preserved because Phantasy Star Online is still available to play online, and
we're still like playing Dreamcast Online.
That's the future for a lot of these games, but certain games like Gravity Rush 2, it's not that, and like Friday the 13th, it's not that simple to just make custom servers and stuff like that, especially when the game's still running.
Yeah,
it's shitty, man, because they came out with so many updates and they had so many plans. So basically what got, and you know, the funny part about this Friday the 13th thing is that the thing that was supposed to be released already kind of got leaked onto the game, and they basically had to remove that accessibility to it, which was the Jason X.
Okay.
And then it was Jason X and another map. And the map hadn't come out yet, but they were going to add more counselors and have that Jason X character available, and now that's it. You can't, he, even though his assets and all that stuff in the map are completed, cannot be released.
Yeah.
I mean, that must be such a huge punch in the balls for the creators of that, like people who worked hard in that game.
I mean, at the end of the day, they already got paid.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, creatively, yeah, it sucks, but at least they got paid for their work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all right. Well, what else you got?
Well, this is just a quick movie review, actually.
Okay.
I saw the documentary "Won't You Be My Neighbor."
Okay.
Yeah, it is the documentary about Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Childhood show.
Child rapist.
No.
Oh, the other Mr. Rogers. Okay.
So, very heartfelt documentary. It's available, pretty much most theaters have it now, I think.
Yeah.
My local indie theater had it, exclusive rights to it for a couple weeks. So, I finally got to sit down and watch it, because it was a huge hit in my indie theater. Like, pretty much every show was, like, sold out for, like, 2 weeks. So, I finally waited to see a late night showing that wasn't busy. And it was a real treat. And the thing is, I'm not someone, I watched Mr. Rogers as a kid, but I didn't watch it that much. Like, it didn't have that impact on me that I'm sure it had on a lot of adults.
I loved it
as
a kid. I mean, I was all about that Rogers.
Yeah?
I loved that Puppet Town. Like, just a quick tangent. I have, like, a real soft spot. Like, I don't know what it is, but I really love, like, miniature towns.
Mm.
I don't like, you know, like when, you know, that section in Epcot in Germany where the little trains and stuff. I always go through and like look through there and stuff. I don't know why, but I just love tiny little like toy towns and stuff. So I love that shit as a kid. Yep. So I was a big Mr. Rogers fan. They call us Rogers heads. And
I thought it was cool. And I think the timing for me was good watching it, because I've been recently getting involved in children education more because of my volunteer work. I haven't really had any interaction with kids at all lately, because I've been working for a bar for years, both my jobs, and I don't really talk or even deal with child education. And it just made me think about how kids are talked to and what is good entertainment for kids. Should we just show them mindless garbage?
Yeah.
Or should we have something that has an actual message for them? I always argue there's a balance to it, but Mr. Rogers definitely was a really good at being genuine.
Yeah.
Which is something that's not really, you don't see that too often anymore. And I think, well, it's really difficult to be that way, but with the world we're in now of social media and constant eye on people. But I really feel like that he was an actual person of real integrity and honesty and actually wanting childhood education and all that. Because I feel like by now something would have leaked out if he actually was like a complete scumbag.
Oh, no. I mean, he's supposedly one of the like nicest, best guys that around.
Yeah.
Like nobody's ever had anything but amazing things to say about him.
They even show a scene where I didn't even know about this, where
Without spoil anything, so I'm probably gonna go see it later.
Well, it's not a spoiler. I mean, you'll still
don't spoil. All right, what is it?
where Congress,
does he die at the end?
Congress is going to pull funding for PBS, yeah. And Mr. Rogers' statement was the one that led them to change their mind about it, and it was just funny because he's just sitting there talking to the congressman in just such a the same Mr. Rogers tone and just explaining a song. He's like, let me tell you about this song. And you want to make fun of the guy, but like you listen to what he's saying and it sounds so cheesy, but everything he says is like true.
Yeah.
And like correct, and it's just, it was, I recommend it to anybody out there. And
I'll probably go see it tonight.
Great thing about it,
I want to see a movie.
So many documentaries just push. It's going to sound like I'm getting like in a political tangent, but like every documentary and I was nervous it was going to do this because every documentary I feel like nowadays has to like push their own like political agenda where they're just like, and nowadays this is what's going on in the world, and they like show like our politics right now and stuff, and they like show, we had no idea that, like they kind of do that at certain points, and like it's a little cringe, but they didn't go all the way with it where they show like, where you'll see, like, reflections of what's going on and what's going on back then. They're like, well, now we're dealing with this. And who knows? Look how progressive we were back then. And now look at the world now. And they kind of dipped their toes into that, but they didn't go off the deep end with it. And it was only an hour and a half long. And it didn't even tell you how he died, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
I think that's really respectful.
How'd he die?
I don't know. So there you go.
I think he just died of old age.
Yeah, probably. So...
Guy was making that show for like 50 years.
It talks about everything you expected to, the origins and the impact he had on people and how he was towards the end. And just a look at childhood education as a whole. And it raised, I think a good documentary shouldn't be preachy, but it should just help. It just should just raise questions, and it made me think a lot more.
So, yeah, I might go see it tonight.
I recommend it.
Cool. So real quick, favorite season of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? Go.
I didn't watch Mr. Rogers as a kid. I barely watched it. I was told by my mom recently that, like, when I went to my grandma's house, we were only allowed to watch Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers. My mom didn't like Mr. Rogers.
No?
She said that she thought the puppets were cheesy and, like, she didn't like
Look at it. Well, I don't think she was the core demographic.
Yep, right. When I was watching the documentary, I just went, this is really cool. Like, that would have been really cool to watch that as a kid. I almost want to, like, if and when I have a child, I want to go through some episodes and like pick out some to have my child.
Well, that's
watch.
What I was saying is that was the part that I liked, is the puppet stuff.
No, it's really cool. There's like an innocence to that, and like he makes a good point where he's just like, you can say so much more with the puppet than you can as like an actual like adult man.
Yeah.
There's some messages that just don't come across to kids as easily unless it's coming from like a object like that.
Yeah. So, are you allowed to tell your story, the Mr. Rogers story?
What Mr. Rogers story are you talking about?
You were at a movie theater recently at a Mr. Rogers screening. Celebrity there.
Oh, God. Sure, I'll talk about it.
All right.
Mr. Rogers' grandson was there.
Uh-huh.
At one of the earlier showings of the movie. I won't name the theater that he was at, but he was at one of the earlier showings of this movie, and he came as a guest. Guy was a fucking little shit.
Yeah.
Little shithead. Didn't seem to care at all, like, that... what he was there for. Honestly, why are you there? Well, first of all, I guess I can't put too much in the blame on the kid, because why does he need to be there? Why, like,
yeah.
If I was Mr. Rogers' grandson, like, hey, can you come out to the showings and stuff? And like, let's just say, like, why? Like, hey guys, I'm related to him. Like, no, he we got he was texting the entire movie.
Okay.
And I'm not even talking just texting. He was Snapchatting during the movie.
Ugh.
And multiple times he was asked to put his phone away, and he refused to put his phone away. And finally, like, towards the end, he finally put it away. And it's just, like, that was just such a clear image of where, like,
Where society is now,
or it's just, like, we can't even, like, take an hour and a half to, like, let alone on your own personal time seeing the movie. That's one thing. Yeah, be a douchebag on your own time, but when you're there representing that
as a guest,
you're representing your family. You're an ambassador for your family. I mean, that's the impression they have on your entire family when you're there like that, and you just don't give a shit.
Yeah, and it's also just bizarre, the juxtaposition of Mr. Rogers' movie, where it's all about teaching kids values and stuff, and then his own fucking grandson is sitting there being a prick to everyone else in the theater.
Yeah, people are having to complain about him.
Yeah.
The point where a management had to be called to talk to
him.
How
old was he?
He's just like...
Yeah, so...
Early 20s, late. Maybe if he wasn't 20, maybe 19 or 20, but like young.
Yeah.
But still, I don't care. Like,
well, I'm just curious how much time he had to get some of that wisdom from his granddad.
He didn't get any of it, apparently.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well,
yeah.
You got anything else for us? Because I'm
out. Are you dry?
Yeah, you used one of mine. So,
oh, I used it. Oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
You stole it. You stole my topic.
That's my PlayStation. Topic. I think I'm actually running dry too. I think that we're gonna call it with that one.
Fine. All right. Well, if you made it this far, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Gracias. please subscribe on YouTube, Google Play, Google Podcasts, iTunes, and all that other shit. And honestly, if you made it this far, I'm confused as to why you wouldn't subscribe. You put up with 45 minutes of us babbling like fools.
Feel free to tweet at us and let us know if you have any topics that you want us to go over.
Oh, yeah. Tweet at us. Send me
troll at us. I don't care.
Send
shit
me a letter
with
some Q&A topics or whatever you want us to talk about. We're going to listen and we're going to talk about it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, it's 1+1. So, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Cause we're gonna shout it.